Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Kalila Shah. She is the author of Liquid Mirror and Surfing the Transformational Waves of 2012. And she has supportive tools for your journey home to the fifth dimension. So, welcome to the program, Kelly.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Good. My listeners will know that over a period of time since 2012 and Ascension has been a key subject, that I have had actually quite a few people on talking about 2012. But naturally, there are varying opinions about exactly what it means and how Ascension will take place. And I know that yours, again, is certainly different to what I think in general, but that will make the program very interesting. We do like to hear what other people believe and how they support their own beliefs. So I'd like first, anyway, to talk about your background, because I know that you have had a lot of experience with shamans, and perhaps you'd like to tell us a little about that. And in fact, can you confirm that things started for you apparently when you were a very young age?
Yes. So when I was 4 years old, my single mother and I were absconded by the Illuminati. And we weren't there very long. And there was a man that who became my stepfather later. He didn't even know about us, but he was quite a being whose story is quite more profound than mine. But he had a remote viewing of where we were, and he was told that they had captured a starseed. And so he broke into the encampment and rescued my mother and I. They shortly married after that, and he became my teacher. He was also a medium, and he channels a being called Moda. And basically the entirety of my childhood, I was trained to see through the dark mask, and learn how the dark artists work, and to basically teach others how to see through darks that are presenting themselves as light beings.
Right, so you evidently had some conscious interest or desire to have an interest in that type of work, but evidently that must have stuck with you for many, many years, if not right up to today, because I believe you've travelled abroad to various places to visit different shamans, and you've also worked with healing plants that they use. I'm not sure if I got the correct pronunciation. Ayahuasca, is it?
Ayahuasca, yeah.
Say it again.
Did you say ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca, right, okay. And I gather that you've had some weird experiences, to say not the least, that I believe you have sort of seen ghostly people and so forth. So tell us a bit about your early days with the shamans and sort of what you experienced and what you learned.
Okay, well, my main teacher being Moda, was first of all teaching me throughout the mediumship sessions, and I didn't even know what a medium was back then. This was in the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my adulthood that I actually found a name for what it was all about. But Moda taught me about the history of the earth and the grand deception of religion and the beings who we have a name for them now, the archons that have been manipulating humanity for quite a long time now. And they're the ones that are manipulating the Illuminati, and those are the beings that are manipulating humanity throughout the financial system as well as the pharmaceutical system and so forth. So this was my training, and it was not an enjoyable childhood, so to speak, because I was a very sensitive, compassionate being, a being that's from off-planet. And so to come here in this 3D density was very intense, especially through this training, because my father would actually take me into the cities and show me basically how these Illuminati-type beings are training their students, and it's horrendous. I mean, they use child molestation and rape, and they build you up and take you down. So I intricately learned these processes that they use and how to identify and see them. So because when we have the awareness of how they operate, we're not vulnerable to falling into their trap. And now, right now, we presently have beings in the fourth dimension as well as in the third dimension that we need to broaden our awareness to be aware of so that we're not vulnerable to them, especially as we're going through our ascension. So basically, back to my story, though, to answer your question, after I graduated from college, I wanted to leave my path because I just wanted to pretend like none of this is real. It's too intense. I don't want to know about it. I want to be a normal person and have a regular life. And so I got a corporate job and raised a family. And it really caught up with me because that what I believe when we are not on our soul's path and living our soul purpose, the soul starts suffocating and we experience that as depression. So I knew I had to get back on my path. And what I did was I found shamanism. I was very attracted to shamanism because it was the closest thing to my own training. And I found some wonderful shamans to work with. And I went to Peru and I did work with the medicines in Peru, went to the sacred sites and the power places. And when I began that path, I started receiving downloads, very, very intensely loving downloads. Basically for years, every night at 3:33 at night. And what I would experience is this immense unconditional love coming from within my heart. And it would take me into tears and tears and tears, hours of tears of joy, feeling this unconditional love. And I thought I was having visitations home. And come to find out, it's similar to that, but I'm learning now that home is inside. But after going through these hours of downloads and receiving spheres of understanding of how the universe works, the operating principles of the soul, and how to broaden the frequency of your soul and how to heal your soul, but they were shown to me in these spheres of understanding with no words to translate them into. And then it was really hard to come back home. I could feel when the download was finished and the experience of this profound love was closing, and I would beg, beg them to let me go back with them. But of course, I stayed consistently. And nowadays, it's not so hard to come back because I'm learning how to hone that frequency. I'm honing home here, and I'm feeling that unconditional love within me consistently now because of my connection with our Creator and our Mother Earth and our Father Sun, which I have found to be the most significant part of the path of self-worthing and awareness.
Right, so were the experiences that you had with the shamans such that they led you to, say, take up healing or things like that?
Well, the shamans that I worked with, mainly, especially the medicine shamans, they don't really involve themselves in giving you much guidance. They leave that to the medicine. And on some of the medicine journeys I had, I would just, again, like same with the downloads, have clear pictures of understandings of how energy works and what I'm to do here. And that's basically raising awareness so that star seeds can be invulnerable to the beings that are attempting to manipulate us right now. And so I was, trying to explain all of this to my friend at the time, and I've never been a writer. I've never kept a journal. And I was explaining all of this to my friend, all of these downloads that I was receiving and understanding, and she said, it's just too much. I can't comprehend all of this. Just start writing it down so that you have some peace. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I never intended to write a book. I just so I could have some relief, I would write these things down, and that's how Liquid Mirror came through. So in terms of experiences with the shamans, it was mainly very, very similar to some of my spontaneous journeys that I have had in the past, but I just got better at journeying to where I can travel intentionally as well as allowing the spontaneous visits to the various places that I've been.
Right. Now, you evidently had some period of time with a particular shaman called Sergio. Would you like to tell us a little bit about those experiences and how they've sort of shaped your future in any way?
Yes. Sergio is a wonderful shaman. This was a 10-day, I spent 10 days with him one-on-one, and he would sit with me literally for 10 hours every day. We would open the mesa and start the ceremony in the morning, and he made the medicine very, very soft and gentle for me, because I'm very, very sensitive, so I don't need high doses. And so he would literally sit with me for 10 hours every day while I would journey with Grandfather Wachuma. And the we call Grandfather Wachuma, which is San Pedro, I believe, in English. And we think of him as a master teacher healer plant. And I healed from all kinds of things, from all kinds of things. It's too much really to go into detail. I mean, that's a book in and of itself that I actually wrote but never published. But yes, I would recommend any opportunities that anyone might have to work with the sacred teachings of medicine plants.
Okay. I believe the shamans are often taking part in ceremonies, and I believe you possibly did. Can you think of any particular ceremony that you had? Tell us a little bit about it and what the purpose of it is.
When you're working with a shaman that, what I call a real shaman, they have your healing in their highest intention. Now, there are shamans that are dark artists, and they take you and they give you medicine and then they manipulate you. That's very, very different. The purpose of ceremony and ingesting medicine plants is healing. And I've heard of people being healed from cancer, AIDS, emotional wounds from being molested as a child. It heals all things. It's a very, very wise, sacred being. And for Westerners, it's really hard to think of animism as anything that could be real, that, you know, everything is alive, that the earth is alive and has a personality, or that a stone is alive and that you can communicate with plants. So it's kind of a stretch for the Western mind. I understand that. But I do have firsthand experience with learning the wisdom of certain plants, and even including my house plants have taught me things. You just have to be sensitive enough to listen. Everything has wisdom innately within it.
Right.
So that is the purpose of the ceremonies, is to they open your heart, especially Wachuma opens your heart and allows you to see the bigger picture of where your wounds came from, whether it be physical or emotional wounds. And you learn that you not only heal, but you understand what the wound, the emotional wound that was in there that created the physical or psychological disturbance that you have. So you're healed from the very source. It's permanent healing.
Right. Now, I recall that you, just getting back to ceremonies again, that you had one in some ancient ruins, and you had a most unusual experience, as far as I can recall it, with what you described as an exploded jaguar tooth. Would you like to explain that?
Oh, can you say that again?
Yeah, I believe I'm quoting you correctly, that you had a particular ceremony in some ancient ruins, I don't know whether that was in Peru, where you had the experience of what I read, I'm sure, as an exploded jaguar tooth. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yes, that's interesting. That was in the book that I wrote, but I don't know how you found that.
Right.
how did you find that? That's crazy. But this is a necklace that Sergio wore, and he would wear it for protection. And see, shamans in Peru, they kind of test each other, and some of them compete. And so they'll send energy darts towards each other, and if you're not wearing protection, then you're more vulnerable to them. And at one point, Sergio's, wasn't when I was there, this is just a story that that he told me that happened before I even went there. But at one point, he was just, I think, sitting on a fence, and his tooth exploded, and that was his protection amulet. And he felt that it actually took a blow for him, an energetic blow for him. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Yes, I thought that particular experience was so unusual that it was worth actually mentioning to you.
Oh, yes. It's fascinating. The world of shamanism is fascinating.
Would you call it in any way black magic?
Yes, many of them actually do practice black magic. That's why you have to be very, very discerning with the beings that you choose to work with. Absolutely.
And some people might find it hard to believe that talismans can protect people against black magic and psychic attacks. Have you had any experience of that yourself?
I don't use that type of shamanism. And I've, from what I've seen, from what the way shamans operate in Peru and throughout South America, I don't go into those realms of performing magic that they do. My practice of shamanism focuses mainly on helping others heal, starting with healing myself, helping others to heal, and my ceremonies today are pretty much only focused on recapitulation, which I can get into, is that part of that is in preparation of our ascension, is to heal our relationships, because I believe, and this is what I say in Liquid Mirror, to me, the real wisdom of shamanism is understanding that everything is a reflection of what we see on the outside is a reflection of what's within us. And so all of our relationships are a mirror of our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with our Creator and our relationship with our Earth. And so if we have conflict in our life, that is a mirror of wounds that we're holding. And so if we can take our responsibility for our part in the conflict in the relationship and go and heal the sources of that, whether we're being manipulative or codependent or argumentative, these are just showing us wounds that we need to heal. Because this, what's happening for us right now with the energy that's coming to us from the center of our galaxy through to the sun and these are the ways that we're surfing now, is our issues are being pulled forth. They're being squeezed out of us. So it's kind of like a master cleanse for the soul. And so if we have tools, because a lot of people's issues are coming up, and that's why it's happening for us. So the reason why I appreciate the tools of shamanism is because we have tools to go in and do the self-healing on our own, and that's what Liquid Mirror is about. And so I have a technique for myself that I use where I go in and I feel the original. I let myself feel the struggle or the strife, the emotional qualities of it, and I do a breath technique, and then I allow myself to go to the original time that the first time I ever had that feeling, and it's usually a childhood issue. I've even had clients that go back into the fetus state when they were feeling the emotions of their mother not wanting to have them, not wanting to give birth, and they took it as a I'm not worthy of love, and that's the core wound that we all have. I'm not saying that not all children were wanted, but all across the board with all of the sessions that I've had, the main wound comes down to lack of self-worth, lack of self-love, and that's just the core of it, and then it'll show up as codependencies and outsourcing our energy and overcompensating and allowing the ego to run and your emotions to run your life.
Right. Now, do you think part of the problem is that we've been brought up in systems or cultures where it seems to be quite normal to criticize yourself or feel that you're not worthy?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get past that sort of self-judgment?
Well, it starts with having a healing tool, first of all. When you can have forgiveness for yourself and recognize that we were innocently, when we were children, collecting all of these beliefs about ourselves from our experiences. And honestly, I don't know many people that have had an easy childhood. The human race got off track with on how to raise children and give them the strength and the beauty and the power of self-love. This has been missing from all cultures for, I don't want to make such a broad statement as that, but I just know that in indigenous times when the most healthy state of indigenous tribes, they were living in such a harmonious way that they didn't have these wounds. And so now it's up to us to recognize where they came from and then use our tools to release the wound from when it happened, basically. And that's, I use soul retrieval for that, and I also teach people the self-healing, which is the breath work that I described. And then you replace the wound with a positive imprint, and then you're proactively practicing self-love. And within all of that, you have self-forgiveness. So you can understand that we were just innocently taking on these beliefs about ourselves, but they're lies. They're not truth. So then we create the new truth, which is, I am God. I am love. And that's a very powerful thing. And then when we go from feeling I am God, then we develop a personal, intimate, loving relationship with our Creator. Because we've been told that we have to go through a third party to have a direct connection with our Creator. And this is the grandest deception that has occurred, because to not have a close relationship with your Creator separates you, in and of itself, separates you from yourself and from your Creator. But when you can have a deep, loving relationship, which is reverence, not worship. Worship is, I believe, the opposite of reverence. But when we can have a deeply reverent appreciation of our own existence and our own Creator and the Mother Earth and the Father Son for everything that they give us, then we broaden our frequency and then develop an emotional connection with all that we love. And then our relationships change. Because when we heal inside, our outside relationships that are reflecting our inner health or lack of health, they heal. And so when I practice recapitulation, at one point I closed myself in a room for 3 days and took inventory of all of my relationships and went and forgave those that I needed to forgive and let go of my shame and guilt around some of the issues of the conflicts that I've had throughout my life. And I would have people call me and go and reach out. People that, you know, I didn't get along with would call me and say, hey, let's connect again. I mean, it was remote healing, basically, and they didn't even know that I was, you know, healing my relationship with them. And we can even do this with people that have passed on or people that we're not in contact with anymore, and I believe that it at least frees us from guilt and shame and resentment, which frees the soul. It cleanses the soul. It releases the soul from that denser frequency of shame, guilt, and resentment.
All right, so do you think that when we try to rebuild our relationships with people that we might not get on with or have fallen out of friendship, do you think that that works in a way like the law of attraction?
You mean if you're wanting to connect with someone?
Well, what I'm getting at is if you put out a feeling of friendship and love for someone else who up to that time you might have not had a good relationship with, do you think that that reaches them and somehow they're attracted back to you?
Yes, I do. I absolutely receive gifts every time that I let go of resentment, or, I mean, everything is a mirror of us. So everything that we put out, we get back. And when we're putting out love and forgiveness, we're receiving love and forgiveness back. And sometimes, you know, when we're living from the heart, which is another big piece right now, is we're learning to not be using our mind to think so much, but living from our heart and feeling more compassion. So we're just now learning unconditional love for those in our lives as well as our enemies. That's kind of a new level of it. But this is what I'm practicing. And the more I put that out, the more I get back. And sometimes certain relationships will fall away because because of the law of attraction, our frequencies are shifting so much. My frequency is broadening, and some people prefer not to broaden their frequency. And so I can just see the relationships kind of just dissipate, where we're just not as close as we used to be. And we don't need to have judgment for anyone where anyone else is anyway. So it's just kind of a process to observe, really.
I think you're absolutely correct in what you said there. Now, fear often plays a very big part in people's lives. It keeps their vibrations lower than what they need to be. How do people overcome a general feeling of fearing things in life?
That is such an important question, because fear is our only weakness, and it's the only thing that makes us vulnerable to the beings that love to feed off of it. And so basically, fear is insecurity, and we can see it in our lives when we have it, when we're triggered by something, when we have lack of self-worth, or we're outsourcing our self-worth. That's fear can have so many expressions and disguises. And so when we can get familiar with what we're afraid of, and they're going to point to a wound, we heal the wound at its source, and we get familiar with fear, and rather than resisting it or pushing against it, we allow it to be. We allow ourselves to feel it fully and recognize what it really is that we're afraid of. And the deeper we go down into those rabbit holes, we get to a place of feeling completely invulnerable, because there's nothing to protect. When you get to experience that you're a pure light being, an eternal pure light being, there is nothing to protect and there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing that can be harmed or contaminated. And that's when we're living from our broader awareness, and that's why I like to practice the four intentions, and one of those is awareness. And we broaden our awareness to be able to see who's playing these games in the fourth and third dimension that are trying to distract light beings from recognizing their light, from knowing their own innate power, their own innate sovereignty. And so awareness is a really big piece in not protecting yourself, but by being aware of the truth. You want to be aware of the truth. That's the bottom line. And then you know the truth, yeah, you're not afraid.
Is it sufficient to, say, believe in God or a God to overcome your fears? In other words, in the sense that I know I should be safe or looked after, would that be enough?
I believe so, yes. There's so many different ways that we can go about this. I practice a relationship. I call it a practice, but I have a deeper loving relationship with my Creator, and I spend a lot of time offering it reverence, and every time I do it, I get the same thing from it. It says, no, thank you. I love you. I mean, it's just like back and forth. It's a beautiful thing. And when I spend time also connecting with my fourth dimensional guides, I feel so incredibly supported and loved. And that's one of the main practices that I do for our ascension, and even for daily practice, for just being able to engage more fully here and enjoying life while we're here, is surrender. I practice surrendering to the great unknown, because this ascension thing, there's so many different ways that they're saying that it could play out, but the bottom line is that it's greatly unknown. There's not much that we know about it, so we're going to be going through something that's quasi-scary because it is so unknown. But if we have developed a loving relationship with our Creator, we're going to be able to fall into its loving arms, because we're going to know what we're falling into. We're going to trust it because of that yes, time that we spend to develop a relationship with it. So, yes, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for bringing that up.
Right. Now, let's get a little bit sort of deeper into your book about the liquid mirror. You talk about your course providing astrological, I guess, understanding, geophysical and prophetic, but how does astrological advice fit in?
Well, that part of the book is not my specialty. That's what Perry wrote, but I do have the fundamental understanding that, right. And this is what the Mayan calendar and the Inca have, and the Hopi, they've all been aware of this time, and for this very reason. Our Earth is aligning with the center of our galaxy, and that only happens around 26,000 years. And when we align with the center of the galaxy, we're receiving a tremendous, it's like, I think of it, and now this is not scientific at all, but this is from my journey is how I experience it, the in-breath of God. The center of the galaxy is a black hole, and I think of it as the in-breath of God, God breathing out the universe or the galaxy that we're in. So we're receiving a great deal of transformational energy right now, and it's hitting the sun, which is why we're having all of the solar flares. And if you take some time and spend some time with the sun, you'll feel and see the difference. It's not the same color. It doesn't radiate the same. It has a whiter light to it, and it has a consciousness. I think of it as a local proxy, a local expression of God's source, and it's reflecting what we are as souls. So when I go on my journeys, and I get to go all the way home, because my recent journeys aren't beings coming here from within me. It's me getting to traverse and experience more like where I'm from. As a fifth-dimensional being, I really don't want to make that a hard line calling that could be literally put, but my experience is when I get to journey, I'm a spherical being, and I see in all 360 degrees of view, and I'm completely sovereign, and I'm a creator, and I can go and traverse the universe wherever I would like to go, and the amount of love when I get to go to these places, the amount of love that we have for one another, because we operate from the knowingness of our oneness and the incredible amount of unconditional love that we have for our Creator and for each other and for our own existence. It's just such a profound, very succinct experience that's not so easy to describe because words really confine it. But I'm sorry, now I got off track. What was your question on that?
Well, I think you're explanation of that is very much in line with what I think. The end times, that is the end of this year, are for most people based on the Mayan calendar. You talk about that. What is your view of that particular date, the 21st of December this year? How important is it?
I believe what I take it down to is the Hopi and the Inca have prophesied that we will be transforming into homoluminous beings, and it will be a new race. I also listen to Drumvalo Melchizedek and George Kavassalis, but, you know, the foundation of, I think, what I believe is that the poles of the earth will be shifting, and the crust of the earth will be shifting, and we will have a profound opportunity to ascend. Drumvalo describes that as us taking our bodies with us and consciously dying and becoming a new race of beings in the fifth dimension. And I experience it when I believe, I can't say that I've had rehearsals, but in some of my journeys, I experience something similar to it. And for those of us that choose to ascend, I believe that we will experience our oneness. We will merge as one being, and then we will individuate and learn how to be fifth-dimensional beings, which is where we'll be luminous beings. And so there's not going to be the polarity and the duality that we know now. The frequency is going to be quite different. So we're going to be experiencing love like we haven't, but we don't have memory of this kind of love. It's been so long since we've actually experienced the pure unconditional love of God and love for each other on this level that we will be experiencing, and then we'll be clear together.
Well, I couldn't have expressed it better myself, Kelly. I think that's excellent. My understanding is, like yours, that we take our body with us, but it will already have started to change from a carbon-based cell to a crystalline one. Now, is that something you're aware of? And if you are,
Yes. Do
you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. I'm aware of that, absolutely. And I believe the Earth will be turning into a crystalline luminous being as well.
Right. Now, do you also believe that somewhere down the line there has to be a certain element of separation to take account of the number of souls that might not yet be ready, or in fact exercising their free will, might not want to go?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a really vast subject. I've done a great deal of research on it. I haven't concluded anything for myself. I focus on waking up starseeds so that they can make sure everybody gets home safe and sound so that they're not distracted by fourth-dimensional beings that are malevolent and posing themselves to be light beings because they're going to be tempting souls through, you know, saying things like, you know, let us help you, or we have a gift for you, or you're special, we need your help, or you're a chosen one, these kinds of strategies that they use that are they're trying to prevent starseeds from ascending and finding their way all the way home. So I'm focusing on that aspect. Now, Jean-Paul Melchizedek, are you familiar with him?
Sorry?
Are you familiar with Jean-Paul Melchizedek?
I'm not quite catching what you're saying. I'm sorry, the sound's a little bit clipped.
Yes, it's a very strange name, but Jean-Paul Melchizedek, is, I believe, is the foremost expert on the subject. And what he says is that everyone's going through the bottleneck. Everyone will be taken care of. Everyone will be safe. There's something in place for all options. For everybody has free will. Everybody gets to choose how they go through this process, and there everything is set up to take care of wherever anybody is in all of this. That's the way he describes it. I've heard of biospheres that are being prepared from this being called a Tanas and Tolik. That's another set of information that's out there that's taking care of where some of the 3D souls might be disincarnating to. It's just such a vast subject. I actually created a graph just to try to figure it out with all the information that's out there and try to make sense of it in my own mind. And it's hard to tell because we really won't know from this perspective of our 3D mind.
So I can follow that, and I do agree with you. Obviously, if I say if, because some people might not believe there is a God, but if there is an all-loving God, he or she would certainly want to take care of everyone on the planet Earth so that at the time of transformation, they all follow the path that is right for them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. I believe even the Earth is taking care of us, so she knows what she's going to be doing, and she's holding on for us. And I believe that if we have that loving relationship with our Creator and with the Earth, we're taken care of automatically from that. There's nothing to be afraid of. And even for those that don't believe in a God, God still loves them. So there's I don't think there's any room for anybody to fall through the cracks here. I would like to idealize that these 4D malevolent beings are going to go through the bottleneck before our ascension so that we have free opportunity to do that without any interference from them. And I don't even know for sure that they have any capacity to do that. But if they do, I would like to think that they're going to be gone before the ascension happens.
I think that must be so. Quite clearly, if the energy levels are going to increase dramatically as a result of the alignment of our sun and the great central sun, there'll be certain people of a lower vibration who simply won't be able to exist in the higher one. So, yes, I agree. Now, where you were talking about in your book, this is transformational waves that are cleansing the Earth. Were you in fact referring to that type of energy, or did you mean some sort of physical application?
No, I'm referring to the energy that we're receiving from the center of our galaxy, Hunapku, and which is hitting our sun, and we're receiving these transformational waves from our sun as well. And so we experience that as our issues are being squeezed forth. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've heard of so many people saying, it's getting really hard right now. There's more stress. There's more scarcity issues coming out. There's more physical issues coming out, relationship issues. And those are the waves that we're surfing. And if we're not allowing our emotions, when our wounds are in charge of our mind and our ego, our emotions are in charge of us. And that's not mastery of your frequency, because our emotions are the human translation of energy. And we are all vibration. We are all energy. So your soul frequency is determined by how you choose to vibrate. And you vibrate based on the emotions that you decide that you want to create. So if your emotions are in charge of you, you're not going to be surfing these transformational waves. You're going to be having a hard time and suffering more and not enjoying this ride at all, which is really unfortunate because this is a time to celebrate. This is a time to see the beautiful glory of the earth that we live in. I've just been really having such a wonderful experience with this. But to be able to drop into the beauty that's before us right now, we have to be in charge of our frequency. And for that, we need to be in charge of our emotions. So if we're choosing our emotions, we're actively cultivating our frequency and broadening our frequency.
I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think people will notice as the greatest differences between this dimension, the third dimension, and the fifth that we should at some stage move into?
Some of the differences between 3D and 5D?
Yes.
Well, the 3D, our self-identity is limited to our matter, our physical bodies, our personality, polarity, male, female, good and bad, all of the weight judgments. This is 3D traits. There's a lot of density and a lot of suffering in 3D. 5D, there's no polarity. It's a realm of non-duality. And there's not just 5D. There's 5, 6, 7, and beyond. And I'm not an expert on those realms, but we're not just stopping at 5D. There's going to be great projects of creativity and creation beyond that. So it's really important to know that. But in 5D, there's no polarity, and so we experience ourselves as God's self. We experience ourselves as being spherical light with infinite creativity and infinite love. And it's really hard to imagine, because again, like I said, we're starved from this kind of love and freedom. But the kind of sovereignty and freedom that we have as 5D beings is just glorious. It's beautiful. It's incredibly freeing and exciting and loving and healing. And that's post-healing, but we'll be experiencing like overwhelming love for one another.
Sounds very nice indeed, I must agree. Now, you offer tools to help people participate in this process that's taking place and ascend. So what type of tools are they? I mean, what are you sort of focusing on to help people?
Okay, well, one of them is recapitulation that I already talked about, and that's healing your relationship. Then I have four intentions that I use, and they're overall intentions that I use, and I pull them together. And when I'm practicing all four of these intentions as a path, I'm sitting in the captain's seat of my soul and choosing my frequency and cultivating my frequency and practicing deeply reverent presence, so to speak, practicing presence in a way that is thoroughly engaging in my life and my emotions here. I'm increasing my capacity to love. So I can go over the four intentions for you and just give you an overview. Let's see how much time we have left. I'll just go over the intentions, but there's four tiers under each intention that you can practice and develop your skills that are in the ebook. But the first one is surrender, and that's the first level of that is allowing what is. There's reframing and developing a personal relationship with God and surrender to the unknown, which I've already talked about a bit. But practicing surrender gives us strength. It lets us release into the love of God so that we're not holding on to fears. The second intention is awareness, and that's broadening our inner energetic awareness, which is being aware of what we're thinking and why we're thinking, all the come from is behind our emotions, if it's coming from love or fear, for example. And that's, the first level of healing, which is being the self-honesty and being aware of your inner energetic environment. And then being aware of our outer energetic environment, being able to see through, you know, beings that are codependent or manipulative so that we don't get caught into those dramas. And then multidimensional listening and connecting with your fifth dimensional guides is another level of awareness. The third intention is non-attachment. And this is how we seal our leaks, because we do, when we walk around with wounds, we have leaks in our energy system, so our energy is not efficient. We're not living off of our full personal power, our full self-power. So we're wanting to let go of all of our attachments, whether they be material attachments, like the things in your garage or, clutter or any kind of emotional attachment to your car or material wealth. Those are things that we want to work with to let go of. And any of our emotional attachments, which are, you know, I'm not talking about loving one another. I'm talking about the codependent tendencies that we have with each other. So it's healing that, letting go of outcomes and letting go of addictions. Those are the four levels under intention. I'm sorry, non-attachment. And the fourth intention is full emotional engagement, which is the best part. That's when we are, we're not afraid to feel our feelings, because we've done our healing, so we are willing to feel more and more, and then we increase our capacity to love. And, you know, this one really surprised me, because I was not really good at full emotional engagement. This was my weak spot over these last few years. These four intentions are in liquid mirror, and I had no idea, because they came through, you know, it was channeled, I suppose. And then I started practicing these tools, and I changed so much, especially when I started practicing full emotional engagement, because I got more involved in experiencing and giving love. I've increased my capacity to let love into my life and to give it back, and it's a beautiful thing. Because what are we all hungry for, really? In all of the client work I've ever done, the bottom line is that they're not getting or giving the love that they really want. And that's the whole point in healing, is so that we can experience more love. It's what we're all thirsty for. So this particular intention of full emotional engagement has given me so much back to what I give it. And those are the four intentions, which I call the harmonic living equation.
Right. Yes, that all sounds very good, makes good sense. Now, if people are hearing that they need to clear up the baggage that they're carrying with them, and sometimes it may have been carried forward from earlier lives, how would they identify with what it is they need to clear? Would that not be rather difficult to do?
It is if you don't have any tools. It does take some practice or some kind of tool. EFT is another great healing tool. There's so many of them out there right now. So I would suggest for anybody that feels like they're carrying wounds, which would show up through us being triggered or, you know, conflict in our relationships, and to have the self-honesty to go, okay, I don't want to live with this anymore because it's creating my suffering, causing my suffering. So I want to clean up this wound and have the courage to do it. And it can be scary if it's something that's been really intense, or you know, a prisoner of war, for example, might have some really intense things to heal. It might take assistance with a healer. But I'm really emphatic on not allowing my clients to become codependent with me. I only allow them to come to me once or twice, and then I give them the tools to heal themselves, because I believe it's a path. And we can easily become codependent with our healers and shamans. But I like to support people in empowering them to heal themselves and turn it into a path so that they realize their own power to self-heal. But, you know, maybe if it's something that's really intense and scary, then it's really nice to have one support you through that. And I use soul retrieval for the intense ones like that.
Yes, thank you very much. As usual, time is sort of racing on. So would you like to tell our listeners where they can obtain your book from? And at the same time, you might like to give them your website address.
Yes, the website is liquidmirror, just like it's spelled, .org. Liquidmirror.org. And if anyone has any questions, they're welcome to email me.
Right, your email address clearly being on your website, presumably.
Yes, it is on my website, but it's easy. It's kellylachey@gmail.com.
Right. And where can people obtain your book from?
Through my website.
Right.
And through Amazon. It's on Amazon as well. And Barnes & Noble. Actually, I think it's pretty much throughout the whole book distribution system. So it should be easy to get online or through my website.
Right, that's fine. Is that the extent to which you've written at the moment, just the one book? I mean, do you write articles or do you issue a news sheet or anything like that?
No, I'm not writing articles now. I did in the past, but right now I'm focusing on this project at hand.
Right, so do you do workshops on your based on the use of your tools?
No, we don't have any workshops going. I'm just doing private sessions and talks.
Okay, so that seems to cover it then as far as your website and any other matters. Is there anything that I haven't mentioned with regards to your book or the tools that you speak of that you would like to add yourself?
Well, yes. One of the most recent journeys that I had, I was experiencing our earth and feeling the suffering of humanity that's on every continent. And it's a very emotional thing for me. And this is why I do what I do, because I want everyone to have the freedom, our innate freedom and sovereignty of soul, is to be able to experience joy and love. And it's up to us to claim our sovereignty. We can't wait for somebody to come and save us or help us or fix the problem. We have to claim our own sovereignty through self-sourcing our energy and not looking outside of ourselves, but looking within and claiming our power. And I think of the sun as a reflection of our sun full self. There's no difference between the sun. It's just a 3D representation of the power, the immense power that our souls carry. And so it's time now for us to claim our power and to claim our sovereignty. And just from that alone, we are not vulnerable to anything, any kind of 4D shenanigans or temptations. And it's up to us. That is how powerful we are.
Right, well, I think we've covered it well. I'll have to thank you very much for coming onto my program, Kelly. It's been very interesting talking with you, and I find to a very large extent that we have an agreement on this period that's coming up and how it will affect people, and to some extent what they need to do to get ready for it. So I wish you every success with your book.
Yes, thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciated you giving me the opportunity to share my tools with you and your audience.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Right, friends, again, as I nearly always say, that was another very interesting guest, enjoyable chat there. Next week I have Charles Green. He's got a new book out called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond. He tells me it contains some cutting-edge concepts and ideas regarding developing higher consciousness, and it is a combination of the teachings of yogic masters connected to that of extraterrestrials from the Andromedan, Sirian, Pleiadian, and Esasani civilizations. So that should whet your appetite a bit, I feel. So thank you for being with me today. I do hope you can make it next week. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you.